We're doing a little series on what's coming, things that the future holds. Been in various places, but last week we started just in the book of Revelation. A book, a whole book, that says it's about things that must shortly take place. Things that must take place in order for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be fulfilled and to be complete. The book of Revelation is a complex book. Probably most of us know that. It's a wonderful book. I don't want to pop too many bubbles here, hopefully, but the book of Revelation and actually other apocalyptic literature, we often approach such literature with a lot of presumptions, depending on where you grew up and what teaching you've been exposed to. Many of us come to such literature with a lot of presumptions. Actually, a lot of presumptions which aren't very helpful. Things like the millennium, the tribulation or the great tribulations, things like the rapture, things like Armageddon. Those things are not in the text in any way close to how they're typically represented. I don't know if that's news to you, but they're not. Armageddon is mentioned in one verse. And it's not even clear in that verse if a battle takes place there. But a lot of us have fixed in our mind that the great battle is the Battle of Armageddon. But it's actually just, it's in Revelation 16. You go check it out. But a fixture that's become in our mind. When is the Battle of Armageddon? It's not in the text in any way close. The way it's been portrayed in a lot of literature and in teaching and in books, etc. The rapture is like that too. The rapture comes out of one verse in 1 Thessalonians. That's probably not talking about being raptured. The theme is something else. Paul's trying to encourage people about saints who have already died in Jesus Christ. So a lot of the presuppositions that we bring to the literature are probably not very helpful to us in understanding it because we are putting on the text things that we're already bringing. The book of Revelation was actually written to give understanding, to give instruction, to give comfort, to give encouragement to churches concerning things that would come their way. The book of Revelation specifically is written to seven churches in Asia Minor at the end of the first century. The Roman Empire had turned hostile to Christianity. There was a lot of persecution going on. Christians were being martyred. So Revelation was written to these seven churches to help them understand their world, to help them understand their situation and things that were happening to them. And they were meant, and they did. They interpreted the imagery in the book of Revelation in terms of their situation. So when they read about the harlot that sits on seven hills, they go, that's Rome. Rome sits on seven hills. So they interpreted the imagery and the content of the book in their situation in their world to find understanding and instruction and comfort and encouragement. I think Revelation is meant to help us in our situation and in our world, both to give us understanding, give us instruction, give us comfort, give us encouragement about things that are going to come our way to help us understand those things. Revelation is a book that reveals to us that all of history is about a book. At the opening of chapter 5, John sees a book in the right hand of the one who's sitting on the throne. A book that's written on the inside and on the back. So there's writing all around on it. But the book is also sealed. It can't be read. Can't see what's in it. It's sealed with seven seals. John weeps because somehow he discerns we need to read that book. You know, we need to find out the content of that book. But nobody can open it. Nobody can break the seals. And there's no one found in heaven or on earth who's worthy to break the seals of the book. And then he's told there is one who is worthy to break the seals, and to open the book. The seven seals are the first of several sets of seven that we find in the book of Revelation. If you've ever been through it, you know that. There's several sets of seven. The seven seals are there. They need to be broken in order to open the book. So I think we should understand those seals as things that need to happen, things that will happen when the seals are broken. Somehow those things are necessary. They're like preparation for what's going to be in the book. So the breaking of the seals and whatever takes place when the seals are broken is somehow preparation, paving the ways, laying the groundwork for the book to be opened, for the contents of the book to be revealed. I think the seven seals are analogous to when Jesus talks about some things and he says they're like the birth pains. You know, those are the things that are coming, paving the way, telling you that it's close, the babies are just about ready to come. Type of idea. It's the birth pangs. So the seven seals are things that have to take place, happen, in order for the book to be opened and to be read and seen. So they set the stage. They like raise the curtain for the great and the final happenings that come when the book gets open. And then after the seals are broken, you get seven trumpets. Those seven trumpets get blown. And those seven trumpets herald the opening of the book. It's like a trumpet fanfare. Doo-doo-doo-doo. And then the book gets open. That was sealed. So we might say that the trumpets, in a sense, mark the beginning of the end. And then later in the book, we get the seven bowls of wrath. They mark the coming of judgment that brings an end to the current age. So they're like the final things that are part of the end that bring judgment to all the wicked, the oppressed, all the enemies are thrown down, and that this current age comes to an end. Those are the seven bowls of wrath. So there's some other sevens in the book, but it's those three things, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of wrath that are the main sequences of seven. Though what I just said makes it sound more sequential than it probably actually is. As the first, we get the seals, and when you're done with the seals, you blow the trumpets, and when you're done with the trumpets, you do the bowls. Perhaps as far as the happenings actually in time, there's much more overlap between those sets of seven, much more interplay between them. Throughout its history, the church has found points of connection, points of contact throughout the book that help them understand what their situation is, like encourage them in their situation, help them know what's going to happen. And of course, there are also events in the book that are unique in particular, things that haven't taken place yet. The greatest of those, of course, being the return of Christ himself. That hasn't taken place yet. He has not yet come in glory. Today, I want us to consider the seals. The seals have to be broken to open the book. Seals have to be broken in order to see what's inside of the book. It's interesting, we're never told directly what's in the book. Contents of the book are never explicitly declared. But what is written in the book is certainly God's word. It wasn't written by Patty, it's not Patty's book. I mean, it's something that God himself has written. So the opening of the book is somehow the revealing and the fulfilling of the purposes and the plans of God. And when the book gets open, that's what will get revealed, what God has written, God's word. In the beginning was the word. So it's something about God's purposes and plans that will get revealed when the book is open. So I want to read most of chapter 6 and just the start of 8 where the seven seals are broken, just for you to see them and then talk a little bit about them. So this is Revelation 6. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." In another, a red horse went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands, and I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius." And if you don't know, that's expensive. Denarius is like a whole day's wage, so you're getting just a little bit of wheat for a whole day's wage, a type of idea. So it's expensive. "And do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed even as they had been, would be completed also. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountain. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" And then there's some text that I've left out, all of chapter 7. That's all dedicated, it's just told about this devastation of the planet Earth. Chapter 7 gives assurance that none of that stuff will happen until all of those whom God calls and seals are okay. From every tribe and tongue and nation, nobody's going to get left out because of these catastrophes. They will all be brought safely in before those things in the sixth seal take place. So that's what chapter 7 is about. Opening of chapter 8, we get the last one. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So that opens the way for the blowing of the trumpets, and things happen when the trumpets get blown. The breaking of the first four seals releases the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's a favorite, famous image, obviously. The pattern is similar in all four seals. The seal gets broken by the Lamb. One of the living creatures says, "Come." And what comes in each case is a horse with a rider. Each horse is a different color. I think this is the original. That's a horse of a different color story. So you got, you know, four horses, but you have four different colors. And each horse and rider, when they come, they're coming out of heaven and riding around the earth, they cause certain effects, certain happenings to occur on the earth when they come. I think those horses riding through the earth represent forces and happenings that take place in history, or perhaps that we can experience, you know, in our individual lives. The happenings aren't all good either. No, they're not all positive. They're not all easy. But it's very important to connect all this horsing around, connect these happenings in history, to connect human experience of these things to the breaking of the seals. That's a very important connection to make, because these happenings participate in preparing and setting the stage for the opening of the book. So I want you to, for just a few moments, I want you to think of colors. Colors in your life, colors in our world. I want you to think about white things. Things that are meant to conquer and to establish rule and order. To make things that are meant to make society civil, to ensure life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, stuff like that. In general, these are bright things, positive things, white things. Probably important not to mistake these things for the messianic themselves, to start ascribing to these white things messianic things. But they are meant just to take control of human society and, you know, bring law and order. They represent a hope for positive outcomes, positive results. Whoever you vote for president, this is why you're hoping for, that president does some white things. Right? And a lot of us are discouraged because we're not sure we're going to get many white things out of the current field. There are white things. People who have worked ensure rule and order in human society and a flourishing of human person in the human community. So I want you to think about white things. I want you to think about red things. Things that threaten peace. Things that take away peace. Things that perhaps make you see red. You know, maybe they cause you to be angry or frustrated. Perhaps there are things that are painful, things that are exploitive, things that are hurtful to people. They draw blood. These are things that result in conflict. Conflict and war. Conflict and war between neighbors, conflict and war between nations. Clash of people against people. Person against person. So red things, they take away the peace. Certainly you don't have to be very skilled to look around our world and see some red things, things that threaten the peace of the human community or the human person. So I want you to think about red things. Then I want you to think about black happenings. Dark happenings. Things where there's lack. Things where there's limitation. Things where you don't have what you need. Things where you come up short, there's scarcity. Things where the experience is there's not enough or it's too expensive. How many of you, if I gave you $433 billion, would solve world hunger? You probably would. But it's don't do it right now because it's too expensive. You don't have that much money. You come up short. You're a few dollars short of what's needed. So, you know, it's a dark day. Black happenings. Famine, where you're lacking the basic necessities of life, where the basic necessities are too costly, too expensive. So I want you to think of black happenings, both for yourself and for the human community. And then finally, I want you to think of pale, ashen happenings. Things that take all the color out of life, all the color out of living. Death, departure from the human scene, just things of grief and loss. Reminded here of how scary and how sad a place Earth can be. There's always people leaving. You know, soon people are dead and gone. Both of those things. They're both dead, they're also gone. And went someplace else. There are indeed events that can just drain the color out of your person, out of your life. Perhaps you've encountered somebody, or perhaps it's happened to you. Just, you know, encountered death and loss and the grief. For a while, you walk around like the zombie. You don't have any color in your life. Everything is just pale colored. So I want you to think about pale happenings. So those four horses. The white one, bringing white things. The red one, bringing red things. The black one, bringing black things. The pale one bringing ashen things. If you think about it, those four horses, they pretty much cover what you see on the world news about every night. You see the world news, a few white things being reported, some red things, some conflict and war. there's some black things, or there's scarcity and not enough of the economic report, where we're missing some necessities, and then there's often some ashen things, where death has intervened. People have departed the scene by their own will or somebody else's. So those four colors, they pretty much can see them every night on the world news. Labors to bring law and order, to make the world livable, to make the world civil. But then you also see the brokenness and the conflict that exists among human beings. You know, things that erode and steal peace. The rivalry and the war. The scarcity and the lack. Famine because there's not enough or because it costs too much. And then the death and the departure from the earthly scene. People no longer sharing in anything that's done under the sun. I think we need to know that those happenings, all those colors, we need to know that they do happen in our world and in our lives. Possibly you can identify those colors in your own experience. You know, you've had those colors in your own experience, but we need to know that all those happenings are part of the breaking of the seals, so that what's in the book can be seen, can be revealed. So when you watch the news and you see the conquering, some folks trying to do white things, when you see the conflict and the wars, you know, and the things that steal the peace, when you see the famine and the lack and the scarcity, and when you see the death, part of you has to know inside, seals are being broken. The end is near. Soon the book will be read. These things have to take place for the book to be open. They're the seals. Then there's the fifth seal. Saints who have died and are all parked together there underneath the throne. They've been killed. They've been martyred. And they raise a question. How long, O Lord, before you bring vengeance and justice on the earth among our enemies and those who killed us? So we see here a scene. We realize many good guys have ended up leaving the scene. You know, they all got killed. They left the scene neither vindicated nor with the wrong that they encountered having been judged. And so now they're up in their heaven and say, Lord, how long are you going to let that go on? This seal, I think, speaks of on earth, you see, unfinished business. Some people don't seem to be bothered by that. Other people seem to be really bothered by unfinished business. Some people really struggle, not just that there's wrong. They don't struggle that there's such a thing as evil that oppresses the right, but they struggle when it looks like the bad guys win. They struggle when the dragon kills the prince and the girl's still stuck in the castle. End of story. See you next week. You know, there's not the resolution. It's not the thing coming through at the end. So there are many people who are okay with dark times as long as you can come through it. But on earth, many good guys die in the night and don't see the morning. It's important to know that that situation is connected to the breaking of the seals. That all that unfinished business, you know, if vengeance hasn't been taken and justice hasn't been served, and the good guys aren't being vindicated. We get to know that those happenings in the earth are connected to the breaking of a seal in order that the book can be opened. Then there's a sixth seal. It's where the earth falls apart. Environmental catastrophe on a global scale. Nothing here about people, except there are people's response to what's happening. So here it's not the people on the ship and what the people on the ship do or don't do. Rather, it's the ship itself coming apart. Oh, you know, there's earthquakes, the sun doesn't shine, the moon turns to blood, you know, all the harvests fail, stars fall out of the sky gets split in two. It's the devastation and decline of nature, of the environment. And when people see what happens, You always thought you had solid ground underneath your feet. What if all the mountains, you know, hills are all move around? I grew up in Michigan, so I remember I was in California the first time I experienced an earthquake. I didn't know the ground could do that. I didn't know something that solid could move around like that. Well, here is catastrophic things, both on earth and in the heavens. And people see it and they can't handle it. They're kind of like, kill us, fall on us mountains. Just unbelievable things happening to the environment. So the earth itself falling apart. And then the seventh seal, where the trumpets get handed out. So then all the stuff that happens at the end when the trumpets get blown, all those things, the way is open when the last seal is broken, the book can be opened. All those things that the trumpets announce can come, you know, can happen. Many people are fearful of the end. And in fact, they go, I don't want it ever to come. But whenever the end's coming, I hope, you know, it doesn't come in my lifetime. You know, so there's many people that are fearful of the end. You might be one of them. You know, so I hope all those seals, whatever they mean, I don't think they'll, I hope they all get broken in my time. I hope there's a couple left because we're fearful of the end. But the seals get broken so that the trumpets announcing, heralding the end can sound. A desirable thing. We want the end to get here. Finally, the trumpets get handed out, blow those things, so that they can announce and bring the end on. Again, most of us hope it doesn't ever come, but here the seal gets broken so that the end can indeed come. I want to encourage us. I want you to encourage you to think about these seven things, these seven seals that need to be opened for the book to be read. Think about these things at a personal level. Think about when they occur in your life. When they occur in your circumstances, in your little world. But also I want you to think about these things as part of how we should understand the story of history. What's happening in the world around us, or what will happen in the world around us. Because I think these things characterize and mark the happenings of history. And know, here's the main point, just know that history unfolding as it is because the Lamb is worthy to break the seals so that the book can be revealed and the book can be read. That's why history is doing what it's doing, because the Lamb is worthy to break the seals. So when you experience colors, or when you see colors in the world, when you see white happenings, folks trying to conquer life, to make it good and secure and make the earth a hospitable and livable place, when you see those things, when you see red happenings, when you see conflict, when you see the war, when you see the things that take away peace and steal peace away from people, perhaps personal peace, perhaps national peace, perhaps global peace, but that conflict takes away peace when you see red. And when you see black, when you see the scarcity and the lack, and how many people in the world have to live because they're missing the necessities. Just not enough, or it's too expensive. Dark days. When you see pale happenings, see death with Hades following after. When you see involvements in the earth coming to an end, drains all the color out. When you struggle, it looks like the bad guys are winning. Looks like they're getting away with it. Good guys are dying without seeing any vindication or justice being served or any vengeance. You know, just the good guy's lost, you know, and he's gone now. So when it looks like the bad guys are winning, there's unfinished business. When you realize that the earth itself is going to suffer catastrophic disaster and happenings, unimaginable things. Sometimes when I hear the global warming discussions and we're worried about like a, you know, 8-inch rise in sea level, there's more coming in an 8-inch rise. And when those things happen to the ship itself, to the environment, when you see those things, know what we'll see in our lifetimes. But finally, also, the end has to come in order for our Lord to return. But the end has to come, because he comes at the end. So the end has to come. And so, Lord, haste today when those trumpets can be blown, heralding the happenings of the end, of the advent of those things. So when you see those things, when you see those things in your own life, when you see those things happening around you in the world, know it's connected to one who's worthy to break the seals. History is not out of control. It's important for us to know that. Sometimes we talk about, you know, like God kind of withdrawn, he's up there in heaven and everything's going nuts down here, and hopefully soon the Lord will come back and pay attention to the scene again. But history is not out of control in that sense. Things that are going on in history are connected to the breaking of the seals, because the Lamb is getting ready to open the book. So history is as it is because the Lamb is worthy. So know that when you look around. That's why Jesus says others will bend over and hide themselves in fear. You lift up your heads. Go home and watch the evening news. Whatever colors you see, you'll probably find some evidence. The Lamb is breaking seals. The opening of the book has to be near. So lift up your head. Your salvation draws near. Let it instruct you. Let it encourage you. Let it strengthen you. So that's the seals. I hope that stirs your thought and does give you a way to perceive the happenings of the world and history in ways that reveal who Jesus Christ is and what he's done and what he will do. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do pray that you give us eyes to see the one, see the Lamb who is worthy, Father, to break the seals of the book in your hand, Father, to open the book that reveals your purposes and your plans and discloses your word. Father, give us eyes to see how the happenings on earth, Father, the colors of life, the unfinished business, Father, the things that happen to creation itself, Father, the approach of the end. Father, all those things bear testimony that your Son is worthy. Worthy to take the book, Father, and to disclose, Father, all that you have said. Father, may it encourage us and instruct us and indeed cause us to lift up our heads, to watch, knowing that the time is near. Father, we thank you for the light, your word. May it shine upon our path. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.